You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Seven in the morning. Come on around the old Cracker Barrel, children. Have a little bit of Chuck Huckleberry lemonade, Kool-Aid for some of you. And let's talk. Let's just talk about politics and good things going on in Tucson, Arizona. If you missed the first hour, I got a little notice that we're going to get the Wakeys are going to get a little honor at the Sister Jose dinner a week from Saturday. That you're going to be recognized for all the good work you've done to the organization at their big awards dinner going on the 26th.
Congratulations. Thank you, Wakeys.
And then Cabco AZ is a sponsor of this hour of radio. Three great locations: Wetmore, Valencia, near the Pima Air Space Museum, Sierra Vista. They are a manufacturer of these cement concrete goods like pavers, bricks, and blocks. So if you want to do a great project for your business or your house on the outside, cabcoaz.com. The coffee today from Phil and Kate. So good. So good. A guy who's going to be, and Allie Miller coming up in the third hour. That is a three-alarm fire for the Pima County Propaganda Department, having me and her on for an hour talking about budget surpluses and fun things like that. So pay attention on the third hour. A guy who's going to be, he's like Sammy Davis. He's the hardest working man in entertainment right now. Rob LeMaster not only will be anchoring down the parking lot shuttle situation at the Classic Car Show, right?
Whoa.
But he also has, his day job is the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and they have their big Walk for Wishes going on Sunday. So, Rob LeMaster, good morning.
Good morning. I need somebody to help me schedule better.
That's true.
That's a pretty big day, huh?
Yeah, so my largest event that I volunteer for, traffic and parking is my bailiwick. Got a lot of great volunteers right out there. And yes, we will have some great shuttles for the car show from TMC over there. Or you can park on site for a nominal fee. So,
I don't care about any of that, Jim. Are you going to be wearing a vest?
I'll be wearing a bright fluorescent vest. Yes.
That's what I care about.
Yeah, safety vest. And it's the first time, last couple of years when I got to do it, it was flashback to my elementary school days at Ridgecrest Elementary in Amarillo, Texas.
You were school safety patrol, weren't you?
I was part of the crossing guards. Yeah, exactly.
Crossing guard.
I was El Capitan.
Oh, were you?
Oh, you got the white belt.
It was also the badges. Yeah. You had a badge.
You got a badge and a sash.
There was only one blue badge for the Capitan.
Yeah.
DeSimone.
DeSimone.
Just want to tell you. Very rarely do I, toot my own horn like that, but.
And kids survived?
They did.
Okay. You've been pushing people around ever since.
It was like a South American Banana Republic, right? The way we controlled that place. It was Huckleberrian in the way we did it. Tell me about the Walk for Wishes.
Well, this is our fifth annual Walk for Wishes. We're at the U of A Mall on Sunday morning, starting registration at 8, walk at 9. It is a non-competitive stroll at the University of Arizona Mall, and it is our largest fundraiser of the year. We have tons of Wish families, a lot of sponsors out there. This year, we will also have some members of Arizona DPS out there, because almost 40 years ago, they were instrumental in the founding of Make-A-Wish, and they'll be out there helping us walk and get out and, a lot of U of A kids to pump up the volume, and some coffee from my friends over at McDonald's, the Conchola group. We've got a volunteer from there that's going to get everybody some coffee. What I love about how we do the walk is we do not charge a registration fee, so the more the merrier. If you want a T-shirt, you raise $100.
Right.
but we think that, if a company has a team and they're out raising money and they've got 30 people that want to come walk, bring 30 people. They do have to register and sign those waiver type things. But, you know, if they've got 10 people that have raised money and 30 want to come, bring everybody. The more, the merrier.
So that's 8 o'clock this Sunday. Weather's going to be perfect.
It's going to be gorgeous. Exactly.
For people who just arrived here from Pluto, not a planet.
Not a planet.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry, Lowell Observatory in Flagstaff.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is Make-A-Wish? So people understand exactly what it is.
Well, you know, our mission statement is that together we create once-in-a-lifetime wishes for children with critical illnesses.
Right.
So that's one of the two things I always like to point out is that what's changed in 40 years is medical science. So there's still this idea that every wish kid, every child that gets a wish is terminally ill. Well, they've had a life-threatening critical illness. But with medical science today, about 77% of our wish kids survive. That doesn't mean they didn't face, you know, like I said, some very, very dire days.
Sure.
You know, I know some that you'd never know they were ever sick a day in their life, and they spent 300 days at Diamond Children's.
Gotcha.
You know, in their life. So they still deserve a wish. So that's what we do. And it creates... you know, hope. It creates something for them to look forward to. It's oftentimes a reward after their treatment. We've seen great strides. There's some medical studies that are still under peer review that actually show the impact of the wish experience. So I like to tell people, you know, I was talking to a potential sponsor one time. He goes, well, bottom line here, what am I buying here? And I showed him all the pictures. I said, smiles. You know, you look at this. You know, you look, I've showed you, you know, have some stats from our last year in the state of Arizona. We're our statewide organization. In the state of Arizona, we granted 406 wishes to children with critical illnesses last fiscal year that ended the end of August.
Wow.
Roughly 24%, 102 of those were in Tucson and Southern Arizona. That's one advantage of being a statewide organization is that based on what we raise in Tucson, we only would have been able to do half that.
Gotcha.
If we were on our own. So we don't care where a child is, if they're in Elfrida or if they're in Chinle or, you know, Parker or Pliskin Acres, you know.
Absolutely.
We're going to grant their wish.
Thank her for using proper references on the show. What can listeners...
Well, I wanted to show you that I have been listening.
Listeners right now, what can they do in relation to Sunday? What's the call to action here?
The call to action is if they want to come join us, you can walk up. We'll take walk-up registrations. They can go to our website, which is arizona.wish.org, and click on events, and the Tucson Walk is on there. They can sign up. They can choose a team to support, or they can sign up their company, their group, anybody as a team, and come on out and meet some of the Wish kids. That's always the cool thing. I don't think we're doing a Wish reveal this year, but we are telling some stories. We have several Wish kids that are going to be there and talk about their experiences. And that's always, this is one of the great times where our sponsors and supporters and volunteers, can meet the Wish kids. Of course,
right.
The majority of our volunteers are Wish granters.
Right.
And they're the ones that go out and initially meet with the children and find out what the wish may be and shepherd it through the process.
Gotcha. Okay.
You know, in conjunction with Wish managers who are employees.
Well, it's nice and easy. Free parking at the U of A on a Sunday morning.
Except the Second Street Garage is never free. That's a new deal we found out.
The U of A needs more of your money. So anyway, it's this.
The surface parking is free. The Cherry Street Garage is free. All of them over by Main Gate Square, those are free on Sunday. But we did have to change what we send out because the Second Street Garage is evidently never free.
I'm going to bite my tongue. So anyway, the Tucson Walk for Wishes this Sunday, registration at 8, walk at 9. Support these great kids. Support these people that are granting over 400 wishes in a 365-day period. It takes a lot of effort.
A lot of really great people that help us make it happen.
And the payoff's amazing.
Yeah, it's, you know, It's the best thing I've ever done in my life.
Ed Alexander, real quick.
Rob, real quick. Make-A-Wish, didn't that start here in Arizona?
Yeah, it did. And I alluded to that a little bit earlier when I said Arizona DPS is going to be in there. But it started with a handful of people and one little boy in April of 1980. So we're about to come up on our 40th anniversary.
Wow.
And it all started there. So I like to say there's 60 U.S. chapters. And we're all independent 501c3s. We're like we're a federated system.
Right.
But 59 of those chapters came from Make-A-Wish America, which is also based in Phoenix.
Gotcha.
Make-A-Wish okay. America came from us.
Nice.
Yeah.
Rob LeMaster, have a hell of a weekend, buddy.
Hey, you know, I'll sleep sometime next month.
I got Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah.
Tucson Walk for Wishes this Sunday, 8 o'clock registration, 9 o'clock the walk starts. Sir, great seeing you.
Thanks. Always a pleasure to be here. First time I've been in
the Palatial Studios.
In the Palatial Studios. Mm-hmm. These are awesome, man.
Well, when we come back, he referenced Pliskin Acres. We'll do a replay, Ed, of the first one. But then we're doing the world debut of the Pliskin Acres Driving Academy commercial.
Ooh.
So be ready for that.
Driving
coming up
in Pliskin
next.
Acres.
Or what have I done?
Thank you. It's all Rob, R-O-B, L-A-M-A-S-T-E-R's fault. 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Now, we're going to do the world premiere of the Pliskin Acres performance driving. Now, Ed, do you have the first one?
I can get it, yes.
Let's do the first one real quick.
Okay.
Because we've had so many requests for it.
And you should. Yes, you should play that so they know where this all came from. It's very new still, so.
We debuted this on Columbus Day, Italian-American Heritage Day. And this is something that Pliskin Acres, I'm the Economic Development Director, and we're sending this out to over 1,000 meeting planners. And then, of course, site selectors for businesses that want to expand or move their business to Pliskin Acres. So let's do the first one, Ed Alexander. Ed, let's play the first one. Stop talking to LeMaster. Here we go.
The future looks bright in Pliskin Acres. Pliskin Acres is a dystopian hellscape whose residents thrive on public assistance. The sun-scorched homeless aimlessly wander Grant Road and Alvernon Way, screaming at imaginary foes. If you're in search of a title loan's vape or pawn shop, there's plenty to choose from. Fine dining can be found from Church's Chicken, Little Caesar's Pizza, and Burger King. Like Walgreens, Fry's abruptly abandoned Pliskin Acres. But Walmart Neighborhood Market is still holding on. Extra security staff is always on hand to prevent a startlingly high rate of beer runs. A recent TripAdvisor article heralded Pliskin Acres as a great destination for adventure. They say if you're looking for a taste of old Detroit, Newark, New Jersey, or Chicago while visiting the Southwest, you'll find it in Pliskin Acres. Weekend evenings are a real treat. With all 12 police officers on duty in the division, tied up with calls at the Section 8 housing all along Alvernon north of Grant. Are those illegal fireworks you hear or some gunshots? Who knows? That's part of the fun. Coming soon to Pliskin Acres is the new Piazza di Alessandro, featuring new nail salons, discount dentistry, and you guessed it, even more title loan and vape shops. Thanks to investment by the Jalisco cartel and illegal THC vape cartridge sales, the future centerpiece of the Piazza di Alessandro will be an all-new fountain offering 24-hour bathing options for the homeless. While it promises to be a breeding ground for hepatitis B, that shouldn't prevent you from enjoying the sunset while on a romantic stroll. Just bring your running shoes. You never know who might berate you in search of money or a cigarette. If you've grown tired of safe and sanitized suburbia, visit Pliskin Acres for a true taste of urban terror.
There you go. Welcome.
So now our production department over at the Pliskin Acres at City Hall on Princeton Stone, especially today we got the car show, we're talking about our first cars, I thought it'd be appropriate. It's tough driving around this town, and it's tough driving around Pliskin Acres. And I think we all need to be prepared, right? We need to be train to drive safely, not just for us, right? Us driving around, but for others, you know, in courtesy of them. So I said to the production staff over at Princeton Stone, I said, guys, girls, we have both. We have two genders.
Just two.
For now.
Okay.
We're always willing to, you know, we're in the middle of Tucson, for God's sake.
I don't know if I missed something or not.
All right. So let's go. We have a driving school now.
Yep.
To help people get through Pliskin Acres. So, Ed, let's get quick before we run out of time.
Wake Up Tucson is sponsored by the Pliskin Acres Performance Driving School, the ultimate training academy for road rage survival on the hard streets of the Old Pueblo. Our experienced instructors can prepare you for pothole and snowbird avoidance. And the ability to beat red lights on crosstown journeys, lowering your travel times by up to 12 minutes. Our weapons instructors can teach you how to handle assault weapons in case you need to brandish.
You talking to me?
After pissing off a sociopathic driver.
Say hello to my little friend!
Any Tucson driver can benefit from training at the Pliskin Acres Performance Driving School. But we have even more in-depth training for Pliskin Acres residents. Learn how to get the most from your vehicle. Even if you're down to two cylinders and riding on three donuts in a vehicle held together by duct tape while vaping, texting, and drinking a 75-ounce tub of soda from Circle K. Show your EBT card and get 25% off your first month. Call 520-PA-DRIVER or visit PliskinAcresPerformanceDrivingSchool.com.
My EBT card. Okay.
See, Pliskin Acres is for everybody.
It is. We're trying to help. Trying to help better.
We're not like these fat cats in the foothills. We're trying to offer services for everybody and make it happen. Now, I don't know if we're ever going to be able to match Chuck's bowling alley size gonorrhea clinic.
They're remodeling that right now.
But this is something we got to really talk about at Pliskin Acres, right?
Can we
do a bigger gonorrhea clinic than Chuck? It'd be like almost like an arms race of gonorrhea clinics.
Oh, we've got plenty of gigantic closed buildings in Pliskin Acres. Are you kidding? You thank Karen Ulick for that. But and now this Durham guy.
Now, speaking of Karen Ulick, does her big box ordinance, is that just businesses, or can I do a big box gonorrhea clinic? That's what I'm thinking.
I'm the mayor.
But
okay.
Now, there's only one other.
Taking over this part.
Now, remember, you do have a vice mayor. And that's BBJ.
Oh, okay. He's
right,
good.
Right? You can't think of it. Because you guys are both long-suffering residents of Pliskin Acres. So between you and BBG, you're going to have to figure that out. How do we get a bigger STD clinic than Chuck Huckleberry? I mean, he's the man. No one leads on STDs more than Chuck. And I really appreciate all of his efforts over there.
Yeah. And he's got a pretty good area for that over there.
You know, STDs strike anywhere, Ed.
Yeah. That's true.
They don't discriminate.
That's true.
So we have CBS Bloomberg coming up next. Ed, I'm making you a Wham! George Michael list now that you got me all excited.
See? Why? He says, why George Michael?
No, I was just wondering. I'm not. Just wanted to know what was your inspiration. We're also might play a commercial for a great new nonprofit helping millennials before this hour is up. Allie Miller coming up in the third hour. 10:30, The Voice, local news and talk, Bloomberg, CBS coming up. Let's go, Ed. Let's get. Oh, no. Oh.
It all comes out of the same place. That's what happens there. So.
You're
making me do a lot of, little,
boy,
lot of little flips here. I don't even know this song, but that's okay.
Wake up,
who wouldn't want to be me, right? I remember that. Yeah, baby. It's Pliskin Acres for you. The sun is shining. Yeah. Cruising through Pliskin.
Absolutely.
The window's up, thank you. Yeah.
10:30, The Voice. Local news and talk here at old Bustos Media Holdings, Palatial Studios down by Palo Verde and Ajo. We're trying to bring you the best of Tucson and some of the worst. We just played the Pliskin Acres Driving School, and it's tough out there. So let's go right to the phone, 790-2040. Brush Fryer Sean, anchoring down Sundays at 1 o'clock
here.
Shawnee, what's shaking, big dog?
From the
far east side of town. We call it the land of the rising sun, of course.
That's true.
As some people know in TUSD, the house of the rising sun is on the east side of town. The sun still comes up in the east, right?
Well, see, this is the binary thought process that you have that's so flawed.
Okay.
We do sunrise fluidity at TUSD.
See that? So. It can come up anywhere. You never know.
Yeah.
And whenever it comes up, there's a rainbow. You know what I mean?
I think we almost made Sean hang up.
Yeah.
No, I'm just going to go get that book that I read every day. I'm going to take it out in the fire, and then I'm going to go get a TUSD handbook and start learning anew.
Thank you, sir.
That. I just wanted to comment, Chris. Those two spots, and I was telling Ed, I never thought anybody would touch Jerry Cross. And you know me and Jerry go. I don't go back as far as you. But
Jerry Cross is a mad genius.
I'm going to say he's the best. Until I heard those two, I didn't think it was ever going to be able to happen again when he left. I am amazed. That was beautiful production.
It is. And the gentleman who created that, Greg, he is right. And he is in the Jerry Cross stratosphere, dude.
Really? Oh, I can't wait to work with him. I was talking to somebody else about what's going on, and now, well, of course, out here on our side of town, I'm far east, we call it sharecropper acres.
What's that mean?
Sharecropper?
No, why do you call it sharecropper acres?
Well, if you live in a house and you pay $3,247 a year in property taxes, do you really own it?
Chuckles.
We're sharecroppers out here. We'd just be some sharecroppers, Chris. I mean, it's not Plissken Acres, it's sharecropper acres. My 10 neighbors around me that I all know, we're all sitting around here going, hey, wait a minute. We're paying like $67,000 a year in property taxes, and basically you need a four-wheel drive to get here.
Well, that sounds, Pima County.
It's Tucson. No, it's Tucson. It's Pima County.
Pima County, you get no bang for your buck.
Well, I'm in District 4, and no, we haven't got much bang for our buck since, I don't know, 1990.
Well, again, we'll see what happens, sir. But thanks for the call, as always, and the support and the kind words about. We have we might do it in the third hour. Ed has a Plissken Acres traffic report, a weather report we need to do also.
And if I can, I actually know the place you could actually top Chuck. There's a big empty shell, and I think it's on Flowing Wells. Well, I think that's called Flowing Wells right there, just north of Grant, right-hand side of the road across from TEP's big transmission station right there.
Right.
There's 100,000, probably 120,000 square foot building that's been sitting there kind of empty. It's a dilapidated, you got to wear a hard hat inside because the roof's falling down and stuff. But you could pop
great.
Right with that one.
That's perfect.
It's what is that domain, eminent domain? I'm just taking it over.
Oh.
We're taking it. Yeah.
I like it. Okay. You could just go in there and squat and probably get some.
We'll be the only STD clinic in America that you need a hard hat to go into. See, this is...
And it's got a fence around it. It'll be great. Yep.
It's perfect. Right on the side of the road. Big white building. It's got docks you can back trucks in. It's beautiful. Kind of.
We will begin eminent domain proceedings forthwith, as my lawyers would say.
I like it.
Sean, have an amazing week, sir.
Hey, you guys keep the faith and have a great day out there.
You too, sir.
All of us. All of us are in this together.
That's true. We got to fan the brush fires of freedom is what I've heard.
I just do my little thing. It's just an hour, Chris. And I do appreciate you promoting me. Thank you very much.
Anytime. You're doing some good work over there.
I appreciate it, sir.
All right. I got to get to this story. Bill, I have the best research crew in America. You've heard of some of them, Matt, Jonathan and Barney and Gary and the crew. Bill number two is our senior scholar.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he's
our research director of research.
He's like our Yoda of the research directors here. So he found this article today. It was in the print version of his Arizona Red Star. He can't find the link yet, but we're looking for it. This is a Howie Fisher discussion. And John Kavanaugh is a state representative out of the Fountain Hills area. And he wants to put taxpayers of any city that enact a sanctuary city policy on the financial hook if police fail to call immigration officials on someone who's a convicted felon. and in this country illegally, and then goes on to commit another felony. He says it's already illegal for communities to refuse to cooperate with ICE. The penalty will be a loss of one half of their state aid. Kavanaugh told Capital Media Services on Tuesday, none of that helps a person who becomes a victim of someone who should have been turned over to ICE. Who's going to compensate the victims? That's what this bill does. Kavanaugh acknowledged, says there's a second reason for the proposal, a measure being voted in Tucson to declare the community the state's first sanctuary city. Tucson voters should understand if they vote, this is from Kavanaugh, quote, Tucson voters should understand if they vote yes and my bill is passed, they could be causing their city to incur liability. The wide-ranging Tucson proposal would prohibit police from detaining someone to determine their immigration status. It would also bar police from participating in any investigation, activity, enforcement action to determine whether someone's in the country illegally. It would spell out that anyone who is detained must be released once the officer has completed all tasks leading to the original traffic stop or criminal investigation. Kavanaugh wants something in place that should it pass. He said his bill would not create liability for every act committed by every person who the police have stopped, did not ask question about their immigration status, then released. Instead, it would only apply to cases where the person's in the country illegally has already is a convicted felon who then commits another felony. So if the sanctuary policy causes them not to call and the individual has committed a felony, then he's considered a dangerous criminal, Kavanaugh said. And if that dangerous criminal harms someone, the city will have to pay the civil damages from any successful civil litigation that results. Well, that's a fun little twist.
So speak English to me.
So what he's saying
he
is...
Likes, you know, he writes three-page things because he gets paid by the inch, okay? So in 2 inches, tell me what the heck you just said.
And this is why you listen to Wake Up Tucson. He wants to do a bill that if the person is a convicted felon already and in the country illegally,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
If a city of like Tucson who is, and this happens, sanctuary city, if Tucson becomes in a month or less than a month, and our police officers stop a illegal immigrant who's already a convicted felon.
Felon, right.
And then they let him go because they can't let him go. They have to
because
let him go to the
sanctuary city
stuff,
of
right?
course. And there are no criminals in a sanctuary
city. Whatever damage this human being causes after that stop mm-hmm. and release,
mm-hmm.
this bill would make the city of Tucson liable for any civil damages
Sweet.
That happen after that.
Sweet. That's what you get.
So, for example, let's say the city of Tucson police pull over someone who they find out is a convicted felon,
mm-hmm.
and then they don't
let him go.
But they know he's here illegally, but they don't do anything about it and let him go.
Right.
Let's say that human being goes on to kill somebody, God forbid.
Goes down to the Jack in the Box on the south side, like it happens all the time.
I don't know about that.
I'm just saying.
But what happens is there's civil damages because this guy gets captured and then maybe the family of the person who this person hurts, right? They can actually put the city of Tucson as basically liable for letting this person go. So you knew he was a convicted felon. You let him go because of sanctuary city, and then he goes on to do more harm,
mm-hmm.
right? This bill would say, now that this is a hootenanny.
Yeah, well, that's what you get. If you want to do something like this, you're asking for it.
Then
yeah,
it puts
shut down the dang city, man. We're going to go bankrupt.
Here's an interesting dynamic, right? So what's going to happen is that you have going. So next year, 2020, this becomes. Let's say this. There's a good chance that the city of Tucson's going to pass sanctuary city.
God, I hope not. Really?
Okay. What about the city voters? Don't you get? They go against every other thing of logic out there, right? So when Chuck's Chuck's bonds, right, that they failed, right? The place that it failed the least was within the city of Tucson, right? This park bond that they passed last year, right, for hundreds of millions of dollars, it passed with flying colors around here, okay? So, and look who they keep putting back in office.
Yeah, well, you're right.
All right, so I guess my question is, despite... You know, thank God I saw the accurately no sanctuary city sign because I don't all this hundreds of thousands of dollars that the SALC guys say they're throwing out there. Okay, we've seen people have sent me some crappy little signs all over the city, but nothing too crazy. if I just look at the past history of Tucson voters, how do they not vote for this? These are the same people that keep Grijalva back in office.
Yeah, because they don't pay attention. You're right.
Right?
No, they don't even know what they're doing when they go to the ballot.
And the one thing that Joel Fineman and his nasty little girl have on their side in relation to Democrat Kool-Aid drinkers is they all hate Trump. This is the worst part. I would say a majority of the people who are going to vote yes for Sanctuary City have no idea the ramifications or what it does,
right.
But they know Trump hates it.
Right.
So I'm telling you, I don't know if anyone's had any of these Joel Fineman thralls show up to your door. But if they do, don't shut the door. Listen to what they say. And I bet they're telling you this is a swipe back at Trump. Don't worry about the details of the thing. If you hate what happened on the night of November blah, blah, blah of 2016, when the person who rightfully should have won was Hillary Clinton, and you were as crushed as we were, and you finally want to hit back at this bastard Trump, we're going to get him with Sanctuary City. That's what they're voting for. They're not voting for any of this. If you sat down with a reasonable human being, I don't care what their political stripes are, and you say, you know, it's going to prevent our cops from working with the feds on joint investigations that have to do with human smuggling, drugs, child sex trafficking, blah, blah, blah. They'd go, oh, God, that's horrible. But that's not what Felicia Chu and the green shirt Alex Keck guy, they're not going to these places. It's all about Trump.
Right.
Trump, 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 Trump.
Resist, resist, resist.
Come on. So I am scared for this city because they have a voting record of this kind of crap. This is where you're at. We'll see. We'll see. Allie Miller's coming up about 14 minutes. It's a 3-alarm fire at the county coming up. 10:30 The Voice. We're celebrating Wham and Ed. Now we know George Michael. What's the other guy's name?
The other guy. George Michael and the other guy. Do you know?
Andrew Ridgely. Come on, man. Come on!
Well, I knew at one time.
10:30 The Voice, the only station Andrew Ridgely listens to when he comes to Tucson for local news and talk.
Boy, did I get a look. Oof. Millennial International.
So we want to thank our new sponsor, Millennial International, and all the work that they're doing with young folks out there. So, again, we have such an amazing crew of sponsors, and so the idea to have a big hitter like Millennial International come in.
They found us. They looked up us, man. That was pretty cool. Yeah. That's crazy. Millennial International on YouTube. Okay.
That was amazing.
Yeah. You're good, man. You're good.
Other kids are. Thank you. Kids in Africa are dying of typhoid. Yeah. Declan was just diagnosed with tennis elbow.
Peanut allergy. Okay. Which happens. I get it.
It's interesting. We were just talking to Tim from Desert Rose earlier in the week, and we were just talking about how we had the Trump tax cuts, right? But then at the same time, the state of Arizona, remember they had fees? Remember there's that car fee now? Not a tax. That's not a tax. That's a... just a fee, right? And they didn't do the tax conformity to make up for the, right? So this is from the Republic, where they still do some sort of reporting, from Andrew Oxford, which would be a great name for a millennial, Andrew Oxford. Yes. I bet he's gluten-free. Economists expect Arizona government will have almost $700 million to spare in the next fiscal year, painting a rosy picture of the state finances and broader economy just a few months before lawmakers formally begin crafting a budget. Now, this is forecasted, right? They do not expect a recession imminent. Some pointed to one big uncertainty they all know well is the wild politics of the 2020. They basically said that they thought the revenue was going to grow at a 7.8%. It grew at 10.2%. Corporate individual sales tax revenue all came in higher than expected, and economists pointed to the state's strong economy. This is different than the Pima County one, because Pima County actually put in those budgets, those surpluses.
Jeez.
Now, so there's two things. I'm sure there's Republicans sharing this with each other and go, see that, bruh? You see that? Economic growth. And it's true.
Yep.
Okay. And it is true, especially in a place called Maricopa County. it's just blowing up. You guys go to Maricopa County for something. Meeting, business, a concert, state soccer games. Bill number one, there was a rise in traffic accidents this morning because a certain radio show decided to play a hilarious sponsorship ad for millennials. Thank you very much. But the part that I don't know that I would say is, how much of this is because we actually have an increase in taxes that we shouldn't have had? That's the other part of this that Mr. Oxford did not handle today in his. So yes, I agree. I'm a trickle down guy. Let's unleash an economy. I'm there. I'm just telling you, the part of the story that we're not hearing is, I think we're just, you know, in relation to how they did the taxes last year, I think that's a chunk of that too. So just want to play a little fair ball on either side. So when we come back, Supervisor Allie Miller will be here. We are going to talk about lots of different things. We might even get talking about why you should vote no on the bond by Golder Ranch fire up on my side of town. Some of you have asked me, what should I vote on the Amphi school bonds? Because, Chris, you're an Amphi parent.
Mm-hmm.
And I would tell you it's probably a no. And I'll tell you why before it's all over. But any school board that has Paul Durham employee Matt Kopech on it is already starting off in a hole with me whether or not I want to give them more money. So we'll talk about that before it's all over. But Allie Miller coming up next. It's a 3-alarm fire at Mark Evans' bungalow. 10:30 The Voice.
Mm-hmm.